Thank you, band. Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to be with you today. We have been on a very different trip than Apostle Ian and Rachel. They've been working hard and doing lots of things, and Lucy and I have been doing nothing at all. It's been lovely. It doesn't come round often, but it's very nice. We've just been away on holiday, so it's really great to be back here with you. We came back yesterday, so I'm feeling fresh and ready to go. Are you ready to go this morning? Good, I hope so. All we're going to do today is something really simple. We're going to look at a story in the Bible in Luke chapter 19, and it's 10 little verses of a little one-off story with a character that we've never heard of yet when we get to this point, and it's a character that we never ever hear of again either. It's a man called Zacchaeus. Does anybody know this story already? Great, I'll go and sit down, that's fine. No, I'm not going to, because this story for me, we often see it as a little bit of a children's story. We're going to read it together in just a minute. But actually, I think there's lots of profound things in this text that maybe God wants to say to me and you this morning. Chapter 19 of Luke. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me. We're just going to read this story all the way through, and then we're going to just stop for a second. Verse 1, Luke 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. What a great phrase. Verse 7, all the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said, "Lord, look, here now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." What a powerful golden nugget of a story. Within 10 verses, we've got a lot of different things going on. And what we're going to do this morning is just go through these verses again, look at this story, look at what maybe God might be doing, look at what maybe God might be saying to us today. But first, what I really wanted to do was just stir our hearts up again and stir our passion up again for these kind of stories. Because whenever Jesus comes and interacts with people, whenever we see that, whenever we read that, whenever we see Jesus speaking to people or watching how he deals with people, we need to really sit up and pay attention. It's a really important thing. And within these Gospels, these stories that we have are when Jesus is talking to humans and people like me and you, we've got to really sit up and pay attention. We've got to be careful with them. Because what we're not seeing is just a man talking to some people a long time ago. What we're seeing is God dealing with his people. And so whenever Jesus speaks, I want to be very careful and look at how he's speaking, because it gives us a good idea of how God might speak to us. It gives us a good idea of God's heart when we see the character of Jesus. It says in John 1:14 that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is that very God, that very deity in human form, and he comes with all the grace and all the truth that God has. Sometimes we separate them in our mind a little bit, maybe too much. John 14:9, a little bit later on in John's Gospel, he's talking to his disciples, and Jesus says, "Don't you know me? Philip, even after I have been with you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? What we've got here in these pages, in a story like we have with Zacchaeus, is we've got an awesome privilege in Jesus. Because it's not just a guy who's speaking to some people. We're seeing and witnessing how God deals with his people and how he might deal with me and you. It's this incredible thing in Colossians 1:15 that the Son is the image of the invisible God. By Jesus coming and walking on earth and being recorded, what we're getting is so much. We're getting what was invisible, what was not, what we couldn't know about God so much. And actually, we're getting what we can now know about God, thanks to Jesus and stories like this. And what I want to do this morning is I want to just read this story together and have a look at what the Bible is saying with that lens on. With that lens on. Because as soon as we understand that when Zacchaeus is talking to Jesus and Jesus is speaking to him and he's saying, I've come to seek and save the lost, and they're all saying he's too bad, and Jesus is saying, no, he's not too bad for me to come to him. That is Jesus, but he is reflecting the Father heart of God. And this morning there's going to be some really great things that we're going to find in these 10 little verses. Are you ready to begin then? Shall we start? Is anybody here? Good. I've got some more pressure this morning because my granddad walked through the door at about 8:45, and he is he's been preaching for a very long time. And so I said, when he came through the door, I said, great. Well, that's a bit more pressure then, isn't it, you know? No, I'm kidding. I'm really glad they're here. It's really good to see you this morning. Verse 1. Let's start from the top. What's going on right now in the context where we find ourselves in this story? Verse 1, Jesus entered Jericho and he was passing through. What's happening here? Well, he's on his way to Jerusalem. Do you remember the Palm Sunday story when everyone's welcoming him in into Jerusalem and they're celebrating and there's crowds and he's really popular at the minute. He's really famous at the minute. Well, we're going to get there a little bit later on in these chapters. But that's the kind of thing that's happening with Jesus right now. People are around him. He's popular. Everybody knows his name. People want to come and see him. The crowds are bustling. And all he's really doing in this moment, he's just on his way somewhere else. He's on his way to Jerusalem, and he's just passing through this place of Jericho. That's the context that we find him in this story. Verse 2, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. What do we know about Zacchaeus then, just by that little sentence? Well, we know tax collectors, they were not very liked. We've got some booze going on this morning. They were not liked at all. They were considered to be traitors, because what they were doing is they were taking money from their own people, the Jewish community, and giving it to the oppressors. They were giving it to the people that had overtaken them. So in lots of ways, Zacchaeus, he was not a liked man by his own people. He was probably an outcast, really. And it calls him a chief tax collector, which is interesting because he wasn't just a tax collector. No, this guy was really bad. In their eyes, he was like the king of the tax collectors almost, you know? He couldn't have been any worse, really. He was probably wearing really nice clothes as they did. He was so wealthy, he was rich, and people would look at him and know that the clothes that he was wearing would have come from not a good place. Nothing about this guy was liked in this moment. What about verse 3 then? He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Now, in that context of this guy being wealthy, he was probably quite dignified. He would never do anything that would undignify himself. He was like nice clothes, clean clothes, He's probably stayed away from a lot of people because he knows that they don't like him very much. And in this moment, we've got a really funny thing happen, a really bizarre thing. He wants to go and see Jesus so much that not only did he run, which you just did not do, especially for somebody like him, not only did he run, but he also went and climbed a tree and probably got his clothes dirty. And it's just not something. Imagine the King of England has just been coronated recently. Imagine him up a tree just behind Destiny Church. It would be an odd sight, wouldn't it, in all of his finery. It would be an odd thing to witness. That's kind of what's going on here. It's not something that he should be doing, but Jesus saw this happen. Jesus saw him, and in verse 5, it says this. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up to him and said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." He sees this man, desperate to just see him, and he calls his name. He calls him by name. There's lots of people around Jesus at this point. He's popular, he's famous, people want to be near him. It's probably hot, it's probably a bit dirty and dusty, and people are crowding around him. But Jesus stops in that moment of that hustle and bustle to look at one man and to call his name. Undignified, an upper tree, hated by people, sinner amongst sinners, cheated God's people, became wealthy in the worst of ways, and Jesus stops and calls his name. Zacchaeus. Can you imagine how he will have felt in that moment? The person that's at the center of all this attention. People want to see him. People are crowded around him. And he looks, he thinks he's out the way. He thinks he's got away with it. He thinks he's hidden enough. But Jesus stops and looks him in the eye and calls his name. This person that everybody wants to be with, actually the living Word of God, the one that the universe bows down to and worships. He stops and he calls his name. Can you imagine how fast his heart must have been beating at that moment when everyone's looking around? Who's he talking to? There's a guy up a tree just here. See, Jesus, he wasn't distracted by the crowd. He didn't call Zacchaeus' name whilst he was just kind of dealing with everything else and kind of half distracted at what's going down. No, he stops and he looks at Zacchaeus specifically and calls his name. He does it intentionally and on purpose. And you know, this morning, God knows your name. And that maybe doesn't sound like a big statement this morning, but let me tell you, it's a big statement. Because not only does he know your name, he knows absolutely everything about you. He knows all the stuff that you've ever done. He knows all the stuff that's been ever done to you. He knows the good and the bad and everything in between. And yet there is nothing too bad for him to come and know your name and call it this morning. Come on, that's the gospel right there, isn't it? He comes and calls your name because he cares about you. That's the reason why. I've got some great verses here because it was really interesting to see that in this calling of the name, some people, some Christians, we go through times, don't we, when we feel like we've been forgotten by God. Let me tell you this morning that you haven't. You might feel like God has left you because of whatever reason. He's not near, he's not with you, but it's not the case because he knows your name and he calls it. He knows absolutely everything about you and he's never left your side. And he sees the circumstance even that you're in right now. And he promises to be with you in it all the way through to the other side. That's our God. It's a wonderful thing. He doesn't just know our name, but he calls it. Isaiah 43, verse 1. "But now, thus says the Lord," I love that phrase, "he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel," he says this to us, "fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. We're not just a number to God. We're not an inconvenience to God. We are His, and He calls us by name, just like a father would his children. You know, sometimes we feel like, I read something this week that was really lovely, and I wanted to share it with you. I didn't know whether I would share it with you. Imagine a father and their son has something wrong. They have a disease. How much more would that father love that child and hate that disease? You know, and somebody I read this week compared that like us and sin. The father doesn't love us less because of sin. He actually probably anguishes over us because of our sin and because of the things that we've got going on that are wrong. Just like a father, he calls our name because we are his. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." He knows everything about us. John 10:3, "To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice." And what does he do? He calls his own sheep by name. He leads them out. Why? Because we are his. I hope I'm getting that across to you this morning. It's a simple message, but it's a powerful one. John 10, a little bit later on in that same chapter, Jesus says of himself, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me." And what's wonderful is that all of this goes for somebody like Zacchaeus as well. Zacchaeus does two things. I don't know if you noticed as we read that story together. The first thing he does is that he humbles himself to get to Jesus. He has to lay himself down a little bit, doesn't he? He has to undignify himself. He might want to be seen to be, you know, clean and wonderful and try and hold his head up, but in this moment he runs and he climbs a tree, and then in verse 6 he does something else. After Jesus has spoken to him, he came down at once in verse 6 and he welcomed him gladly. This story ends with salvation, as we're going to see as we get to the end, up to verse 10. But you see, there's something powerful in that, isn't there? And maybe there's somebody here today, or you feel like your name is being called somewhere. Maybe it's being called for a long time and you don't know Jesus yet. You haven't taken that step of faith yet. Today's your day to come and welcome him gladly this morning. And maybe that's a decision that you're on the edge of making. I want to say to you today, it's the best thing you could ever do is come and welcome Jesus gladly this morning. If you want to talk to anybody about that after the service, come and talk to one of the leaders. Come and talk to somebody who brought you, maybe. I don't know. He's calling our names. Verse 7 says this. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be a guest of a sinner." They're confused at what's going on here. That the Holy One, the Righteous One, would go and be with the unrighteous. Well, thank goodness he does, right? He calls the names of the people who aren't perfect. Not because he doesn't call the names of those because of all the good stuff we've done and that we've got merit in ourselves, but actually he calls the names of the people who are unrighteous because of, as we read earlier, we are absolutely his. Those people thought Zacchaeus was too bad for God. And I think often, sometimes we feel like that. Even if we've been on a journey with God, we've been walking and following him for a lot of years, sometimes we can just get to the place where we think, I must be just too bad for God. I must have strayed so far. Even the things that have been and done and gone before, these are things that are too bad for God. And these people thought that of Zacchaeus. But the truth is today, is that there is nothing that we have done that is ever too far that God's grace can't reach us, that his love can't reach us, because he didn't come to just to judge, but he came in grace and in truth, is what the Bible says. He came to seek and to save the lost. That's the truth. And as we see this in Jesus, we have to remember that what we see in Jesus is the exact mirror image of our Father God. It's not just Jesus dealing with Zacchaeus in this moment. What we're witnessing is how God deals with me and you. Come on. Can I get an amen from anybody this morning? Come on. That's the truth. There is nothing so far, so deep, so dark that the love and the grace and the mercy of God can't reach you today. The wonderful thing about being able to study this is that we can see, if we go back just a few verses from chapter 19, there's another story about a rich guy. And I love this because as I've been looking at this, it's so obvious, it's so clear that there's a direct parallel. And one story goes one way, and the other story, our Zacchaeus story this morning, goes a different way. If we go to Luke 18, verse 18, there's a story, and the story is called The Rich Ruler. And the rich ruler asked Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Well, you need to obey all the commandments all of the time, all of your life." And the rich ruler says, "Yeah, I've done that." And it kind of just moves on in the story. And I'm thinking, hang on a minute. No, you haven't. You probably haven't. But what's happening here is that this ruler was seen as righteous. So the opposite of Zacchaeus, which is ironic because the name Zacchaeus means righteous. Did you know? Isn't that an ironic twist in this story? And what we've got is the rich ruler saying, "Yes, I am righteous. I've done all the commandments. What now?" And Jesus says, "Great. I want you to give 100% of everything you've got to the poor. Sell it all. Give it all away. That's what I want from you now." And we see at the end of the story that the rich ruler, he just can't do that. He can't do that. There's something more than Jesus that he loves. That's the difference in this story. And then he goes away sad because he can't do what Jesus has asked him to do. And we get this really famous verse in Luke 18, 25, where Jesus says, "Indeed, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven." And those who asked this said, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus replied, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." And I think often when we look at that verse, we think, okay, it's just what Jesus is saying is rich people will never go to heaven. And it's just not true. It's just not true. What he is saying, though, is that it's really hard for people who don't have to rely on me to rely on me. It's really hard for the people who have absolutely everything made and don't need anything else to come to the point where they've got to come and have some faith in a Father God. That's what he's saying in this moment. But what's incredible is that he doesn't say, "It's really difficult and that's never going to happen." What he says is, "I'm the only one who can make that happen. I'm the only person who can bring somebody who has everything and doesn't need me to a point where they know that they need me." And in this next story that we're reading in Zacchaeus, that is exactly what happens. He proves that point, doesn't he? Straight away, almost in the next story, what's impossible with man is possible with me. Watch this, is what he's saying. Here's a man, Zacchaeus, who has got it made. And yet he comes and he humbles himself and he welcomes Jesus gladly. I don't know if you notice, but there's a parallel here as well. Because Jesus asks the rich ruler to give 100% of everything he's got. But he's happy with Zacchaeus only giving half. How does that work? Has Jesus forgotten what his rules are? He must have done, right? Actually, I don't think he has. Because I think what Jesus is looking for is not the amount, but actually what's going on in here. He sees a turnaround moment in Zacchaeus. The Bible calls it repentance. And he doesn't just welcome Jesus gladly, but he turns his life around. That's the story of the gospel. actually, from this moment, I'm not going to do this my way. I'm not going to cheat. I'm not going to steal. I'm going to do everything I've got, everything that's within my power to live differently, to live a holy life. We've been looking at that as we've been studying in the week in 1 Peter. Peter talks a lot about living a holy life. See, Jesus is looking for what's going on in here with Zacchaeus. And do you know what that means? Our God is looking at what's going on in here with us. He's not looking at the amount you give or how good you look doing it or what you do in public. And Jesus keeps doing this and kind of counteracting this. He said, don't pray like those people who pray in public loads and loads. Don't do the outward stuff that looks good. He's looking at what's going on in your heart. Pray to your Father in your room so only He can see. Yeah, I'm happy giving 50% when I've asked the other person to give 100%. He's looking at what's going on in our heart today. He cares about the heart. And verse 9 and 10, let's read it together, of chapter 19. We're going to finish off this story. Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. Amen. Do you know what's really funny about this story? Is that it starts with Zacchaeus trying to see Jesus, trying to get to Jesus. And little did he know that Jesus was looking for him. He came to seek and to save the lost. And he looks him in the eye and he calls his name. Do you know that this morning God knows your name? Not only does he know your name, but he knows everything about you. Not only does he know your name, but he's calling it today. And he calls it through all of our anger, all of our wrong decisions, all of the stuff we've done wrong. He calls it through all of our addiction, all the stuff that we think is too bad for God. He calls your name through all of that stuff. And it's a wonderful thing for us to remember that as Christians today. But if you're not somebody that's following Jesus, how more wonderful is it that you can start a journey this morning with your good God? And as we've seen with Zacchaeus, there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. It doesn't matter what other people think of you. Even if other people think you're too bad for God, you're not. We see the grace in the heart of the Father because what we read about Jesus. What a privilege we have in Jesus. This morning, we're going to end by singing this song. It's called Indescribable. We're just going to sing this chorus together. And it's just going to remind us again that actually, he placed the stars in the sky and he knows them by name. How much more does he know you by name? There's another part of this chorus that's going to say, you see the depth of my heart. You still see all the stuff I've done wrong, Lord. But he loves you the same. Because there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God this morning. What a great thing to know if we're already following Jesus. But what a great thing to know if you're not yet following him. Come and welcome him gladly today. Come on, let's sing it together.
Indescribable. Uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. Oh, powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing, God, indescribable. Amen.